Shrinagarata Madhava Kunyavihari Jayaratha Madhava Kunyavihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivala Dadi Navalava Girivala Dadi Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivala Dadi Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Namuna Tira Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Pada Shati Radha, Pada Shati Radha Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Swagatam, Suswagatam, everyone. We are reading from the sixth Canto, chapter 15, text 16. Please repeat. Tasmat yuvam gramya pashor mama muradvija prabhu ande tamasi magnasya jnana dipa ujiyatam tasmad yuvam gramya pasho mama mura divya prabhu ande tamasi magnasya jnana dipa ujiyatam tasmad yuvam gramya pashor mama muda diya prabhu ande tamasi magnasya jnana dipa ujiyatam. Yes, please. Yuvam gramya pasho mama muradiya prabhu ane tamasi magnasya Mama Mura Tasmat therefore yuvam both of you gramya pasho of an animal like a hog, a pig or a dog mudadiyaha sorry mama me Muradiyaha, who am very foolish due to having no spiritual knowledge. Prabhu, O my two lords, ande in blind, tamasi, darkness, magnasya, of one who is absorbed, jnanadipa, the torchlight of knowledge, udiyatam, let it be ignited. Translation, because you are great personalities, you can give me real knowledge. I'm as foolish as a village animal, like a pig or a dog, because I'm merged in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, please ignite the torch of knowledge to save me. Purport. This is the way to receive knowledge. My dear devotees, you all know the context. It is two saints, Narada and Angira, have arrived at the court of King Chitaketu and begin to instruct him. And he has just described how he is really in ignorance and needs to be enlightened. This is the way to receive knowledge. One must submit oneself at the lotus feet of great personalities who can actually deliver transcendental knowledge. It is therefore said, Tasmat gurum prapadyeta yigyasu shreya utamam. One who is inquisitive to understand the highest goal and benefit of life must approach a bona fide spiritual master and surrender unto him. Only one who is actually eager to receive knowledge to eradicate the darkness of ignorance is eligible to approach a guru or spiritual master. The guru should not be approached for material benefits. One should not approach a guru just to cure some disease or receive some miraculous benefit. This is not the way to approach the guru. Tadvijnanatam. One should approach the guru to understand the transcendental science of spiritual life. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are many bogus gurus who display magic to their disciples. And many foolish disciples want to see such magic for material benefits. These disciples are not interested in pursuing spiritual life to save themselves from the darkness of ignorance. It is said, please, if you can know this verse. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. This gives the definition of the guru. Everyone is in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, everyone needs to be enlightened with transcendental knowledge. One who enlightens his disciple and saves him from rotting in the darkness of ignorance in this material world is a true guru. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesa Sunyavali Skatya de Satanine, Si Krishna Chaitana, Unitananda, Si Advaita, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we have an example how a disciple approaches the spiritual master. He takes Chita Ketu is the king, but when he sees Narada and Angira, he understands that they can cure his problem of being totally forgetful of who he actually is, and they can also take this pain out of his heart, which he felt. Why was Chita Ketu lamenting?
Because his son was poisoned by...
Because his son was just poisoned. Yeah. A little louder? Oh, sorry. Yes. So... It was his only son, and he felt really very, very miserable. And then he knew only Narada and Angira could help him. My dear devotees, I felt also once very miserable in my spiritual life. We had been doing Sankirtan in Germany, and we always received news from Vrindavan where Srila Prabhupada was not well. He was he told us that this might be the time when he leaves the body. So then all of a sudden, surprisingly, we heard that Srila Prabhupada had made a world journey and had arrived in and would arrive in London, and it would be possible for us, we were Sankirtan devotees in Germany, to see him, what could be possibly the last time. So we all went into our Sankirtan vans, and we crossed the English Channel. It's a water, a big amount of water, and came to Prabhupada, and a special darshan had been arranged for five leading Sankirtan devotees. And although at that time I was a translator, I was also invited to come. So when we all went into Prabhupada's room, he looked very different than we had seen him on photos or when we had met him. His body was very emaciated, thin, and his hands were swollen. He was sitting on a rocking chair, and he, in order to protect his eyes, he had sunglasses, although it was in the middle of the room. So when we came into the room and saw our spiritual master, so thin and so frail and all, we were very troubled, and many of us choked and so on. And the moment we had sat down, Srila Prabhupada addressed us. It was a very soft voice, like a whisper. And he said, he asked a question. So, there was a long pause. Have you understood our philosophy? And then Prabhupada looked at us, expecting an answer. What would you say if you would be asked to explain briefly the philosophy of Krishna consciousness? It's a big question, and there's a big answer necessary, I thought. So some of my god brothers tried. They said the philosophy is whomever you meet, give him a book on Krishna, teach him Krishna Upadesh, you know, teach him the instruction of Krishna. Prabhupada asked, well, what is Krishna's Upadesh? What is his instruction? I'm seeing there is something. It's not important, Krishna. We are already in the lecture, because everyone will look only at you when you do something. We are in Delhi. Are you with me? Are you listening? What are we discussing at the moment? Prabhupada has asked a question. What was the question? Have you understood the philosophy? Now, many devotees try to give answers, but give answers from the scriptures. What is it called? Very important verse from the 18th chapter. Savadaman, parijaja, mangikam sharanam vraja. We gave so many answers like this, but Prabhupada was not satisfied. Finally, Prabhupada gave the answer himself. And this answer was working on many levels for me. His answer was only a sentence. He put the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness in one sentence. He said, first of all, you need to understand that life is eternal. So when I was there in the room, I was thinking about this answer. He said to us, basically, I'm not the body, so don't look so sad. I'm the eternal soul. He also said something else on another level. He said, we will never be separated because I'm an eternal soul and so are you. We will always have the possibility of contact. So I understood his answer like this. First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal, meant that we are not identical with the body and the mind. We are an eternal spiritual soul. This is what a genuine spiritual master does, my dear devotees. He gives you knowledge through which you can wake up. Here we have Chitraketu Maharaj, the great king who's lamenting that his son has been poisoned and killed, actually. And he is almost mad from pain. He cannot rule any longer. So he asks Angira and Narada Muni, I'm foolish like a village animal. Therefore, I'm suffering. I need you now to please enlighten me and take this suffering away from me. And actually, the great saints, they will do this. They've already explained. Yata prayanti samyanti shruto vegena valuka samyujyante viyujyante tatakalena dehina. O king, as small particles of sand sometimes come together and are sometimes again separated due to the force of the waves, the living entities who have accepted material bodies sometimes come together and are sometimes separated by the force of time. Let's understand this. When you come to the ocean, perhaps in Jagannath Puri, you will see that the waves are raising the sand of the ocean and then mixing the sand. So sometimes a grain of sand from here comes and is meeting by the force of the waves another grain of sand. And then by the same force, the same waves, the two grains of sand are again separated. This is what the two saints tell King Chittaketu. Sometimes we are meeting. You've met a living entity and he has come in your family. You call him now son. But by the same force, by the same energy, which is not under your control, you have become separated. Who of you has a relative who has recently died? Yeah. My father died exactly 1 year ago, and a few months after, my mother died. And how did you feel? I can imagine that you felt sad or disturbed, perhaps, or you felt a big hole is now in your life. Now, this is natural, but ultimately we should understand that we have met our parents or perhaps our relatives or friends by the arrangement of material nature, and we will be separated from them. And of course, as human beings, we lament, but then it's important to come to the spiritual platform and see if we can help. I remember when my mother was cremated, I was actually there. During the cremation of my father, I was in Vrindavan, and he had told me, better you stay in Vrindavan, there you can be more beneficial to my life. But when the mother was cremated and put into the family grave, at that time I was there. And just when we put, it's called an urn, you know, it's a little, it's like a pot like this, but very nice and very well decorated and so on. When we put that in the earth, the priest said, there is a guru amongst us. If he would like to do something for his mother, he's welcome. So I had a little pouch like this with Vrindavan dust, and when the urn went into the earth, I put the Vrindavan dust on on the urn into the grave, and I felt that my mother was very happy with this. What? Not loud enough?
Yes.
Krishna, oh God, so I will... could you all understand so far?
Yes.
Good. I actually, it was interesting. I put the earth, the dust, the Brajaraj down, it went filled down. That time the clouds opened and a ray of sunlight came and made the dust of Vrindavan appear to be pure gold. Yes. And at that time I heard a voice in the air, a very thin voice without a body. It was the voice of my mother who said, "Thank you, now I can go." So later I was thinking that yes, we meet parents, friends, relatives, teachers in the school. By the influence of time, and we stay together for some time, but then just like the grains of sand who are again separated by the waves, we are also separated again from each other by the waves of time. So this information was given to Chitra Ketu Maharaj, and more Atma Gyan, it's called knowledge about the soul, and he became free from ignorance. My dear devotees, when we speak about we are born in this blinding darkness, this is the word here, like a hawk or a pig or a dog in a village. You know. This darkness refers to something very specific. The darkness of ignorance is not that you may not know good English or and so on. The darkness of ignorance is not that you have perhaps not gone to school. Maybe we have a few village children here amongst us who have not gone to school. I also ran away from school when I was very young, you know. So the darkness of ignorance doesn't refer to a lack of material knowledge. The darkness of ignorance means that you are covered by the avidya shakti of the Lord. At the beginning of the creation, Brahma created this tama and four other forms of ignorance that make you forget who you are. You forget that you are part of Krishna, and instead you begin to identify with something which you are not, that is the material body. So this is the avidya which we hear about. It's thinking the eternal soul to be temporary and thinking it to be a body, a German, an American, an Indian, a Chinese, and this or that, no? So I want to ask you a question this morning. What is the symptom of someone who is starting to awake from this blinding ignorance? What could that be? If you, all our young devotees always have quick answers, but my answer is you don't know much. So, what could it mean when you are starting to awaken in Krishna consciousness?
Yes.
It's a good question, no? And not the young devotees. The young devotees don't know anything. So, what could that mean? How would you change? Would you change? Or would you just be, you know, instead of hello, you say Hari Bol. Instead of having a nice haircut, you have no hair. Instead of dressing in fashionable clothes, you dress in saris and so on. Is you know, what happens inside of you when the process begins to work at you? Sorry? The person is satisfied. Yeah, Brahma, Bhuta, Prasanna, Atma, na Sochati, na Sankangshati. Yes, transformation of consciousness. You will be more kind, perhaps, more forgiving, and things which disturb you, have disturbed you previously, are not disturbing any longer. My dear devotees, these are all correct answers. I was thinking of a verse from Upadeshamrita where it is described what is the effect of someone who has been covered with avidya. What has happened to him? The answer to this question is he does not find Krishna, Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes interesting. He finds it quite bitter. It doesn't taste sweet for him. However, it says there's a medicine against this. One should continuously chant with adarat. Adarat means with affection and that respect in the heart. No? If one does this, certainly the sweetness, one will taste the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. And the example of a jaundiced patient is given, I think you have heard many times, when he eats rock sugar, that cures him from his disease. Although in the beginning the rock sugar tastes terribly bitter, after repeatedly and continuously eating it, he will be cured. So in the same way, Krishna consciousness may taste not so tasty, quite bitter actually, and if you chant, you look at the wristwatch, when is it over, when is the kirtan over, and you doing your japa, it's a struggle for you. When you gradually wake up, the sign of awakening is that you find Krishna's name so sweet, that you find descriptions about Krishna's pastimes so irresistible sweet that you are very, very much in ecstasy. So we hear here about the guru-disciple relationship. It is very interesting to know that even Krishna was a disciple. What was the name of his guru? Sandipani Muni, and he, Krishna, learned in his ashram in Avanti, no, which is now Ujjain. So we all know the famous interaction, how Krishna served his guru very menially. What did he do as services? He used to get wood from the forest, but was that the only thing Krishna did? He learned the knowledge in one day, he mastered each subject. And maybe you don't know, but he went every day to collect funds. And the people of Avanti, when they saw Krishna with this very beautiful transcendental body and his lotus eyes, and when they heard his very sweet voice, Ma! he would say to the Grihastha wives, Ma, give me some Guru Dakshin for my Guru. The people of Avanti felt so charmed by Krishna that it is described by Jiva Goswami that Krishna would give everything to Krishna, bangles, cloth, household utensils. Krishna came usually with a few ox carts full, and the people gave so much that he filled the ox carts. No? That was his seva to his spiritual master. But there was one seva which I heard just recently, which is very endearing to hear. See, every morning Sandipani Muni had gone to one particular holy river which was flowing about 1 kilometer away from his ashram. So he needed to walk quite some time. He would take his bath, morning bath in the holy river, and then he would come back. So once Krishna said, Oh Guru Maharaj, I see every morning you have to walk so far and you are elderly, you're a little old. I would like to bring the river here in your ashram, and then you can take a bath right in the pukur, you know, which. So Sandipani Muni said, you have a small mouth, but you put big words in your mouth. He said it with love in his heart. How can you bring the water of this river? No, I can do, said Krishna. It is not difficult for me. But then, said Sandipani Muni, how will I know that this is the river water? I believe the river was called Saroju, but I am not 100% sure. How can I know this? Oh, Guru Maharaj, said Krishna, you do one thing. Tomorrow you will go with your kamandalu, with your pot, to the river. You will take your bath. And then see. So Sandipani Muni went to take his bath, but when he came out of the river, his kamandalu was missing. I mean, he had put the kamandalu down and he remembered the exact spot. He was not forgetful, he had very sharp intelligence, but the kamandalu was not there. Sandipani Muni began to think, maybe that has something to do with Krishna. So he said, Siam, he called him Siam, because he was so black. Siam, and Krishna came, yes, Guru Maharaj, where is my kamandalu? Where is my kamandalu? So Krishna smiled and said, Guru Maharaj, I told you I would bring the sacred river to your ashram, and since your kamandalu was put on the banks of the sacred river, it also came to your ashram. Would you like to see? So Sandipani Muni said, whatever you did, tell me the truth. Yes, I'm telling the truth. I brought the river. So Krishna took him to the ashram. My dear devotees, there was a pond, and next to the pond was the Kamandalu. Krishna had brought the river plus the Kamandalu and placed it into the ashram of his Guru Maharaj. And in this way showing, you don't need to go anywhere with your Kamandalu. You just stay in the ashram. I have arranged that the sacred water is there. And you can still go there and you find a nice little pond. I don't know if you find the Kamandalu. I think there is a temple for the Kamandalu, you know, so the pot. What I want to show with this pastime is you have to learn from the spiritual master and you have to be a servant of the spiritual master. You have to serve him. Then you will be able to obtain real knowledge. If someone comes to a spiritual master but he does not render service, he will not really learn things on a deeper level. It's only by service that we learn on the deeper level. And this is what Krishna showed when he was the disciple. He later said, I'm not so much satisfied if someone serves me directly as I am satisfied when someone serves his spiritual master. This is the idea. And Krishna was the perfect servant. So anyways, when you are getting training and you learn about Krishna consciousness, the first symptom is that you will develop taste. Taste is necessary in our devotional life. It maintains us like a mother maintains a small little child. Without taste, we are lost in the same way as a child is lost without his mother, who gives him something to drink and takes care of him in many ways. No? So this taste, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, please give me this taste and maintain my life by giving me taste. This is the first symptom when you wake up. Your taste in Krishna, which you have lost while you were material life and while you were a beginning student in Krishna consciousness, that the taste of in Krishna will become very, very natural, very spontaneous, and so on. Sometimes Krishna gives us a little taste just so that he teaches us what it means to have taste. No? But as you continue serving under the spiritual master, you don't just get knowledge. Knowledge alone is dry. But knowledge with taste in the process of Krishna consciousness is alive and can nourish you like a good mother. It is the duty of our sampradaya, that is the teachers in our line, to give to the students real knowledge that helps them awaken and in this way give them taste again in Krishna. There's a prayer which I want to read to you. It is from Rupa Goswami. I think. Yeah. Prayer is Padeshinim Mukha Kuhare Vinikshipan Jano muhu vana bhuvi putkarotyaso prasidatam shanam adipo prasidatam drisho puras puratu tadit ganacha vihi padeshinim ukakuhare vingshati jano muhu vana bhuvi putkarotyaso. Rupa Goswami is now a little elderly, and he knows he will not stay much longer in this world. So he has entered the forest of Vrindavan, and he has he's sitting there with his forefinger in his mouth. Valadev Vidyabhushana says the forefinger is used for two ways. One is for scolding, like this. But the second use for the forefinger is to put it in the mouth when you are very, very distressed and you urgently call. So he says, O my master Shri Krishna, O mistress of Vrindavan, what is her name? Shri Radhika, yes. I'm sitting here in Vrindavan's forest and I cry out to you again and again and weep. My fourth finger is at my mouth. I beseech you, beseech means I beg you, if only for a moment be pleased with me and allow my eyes to behold the sweetness of your forms, which appear like a streak of lightning across a fresh thunderbolt. Who is the streak of lightning? Srimati Radharani, yes, someone said, because she has a golden complexion. And who is the cloud, the dark cloud? Krishna. So Rupa Goswami wants to see Radha and Krishna like you see from the distance, perhaps, lightning that comes out of a rain cloud. But he wants to see something very special about Krishna, the sweetness. My dear devotees, you have not seen Krishna if you have not seen the sweetness. Krishna is not a distant God, he's not an angry God, he's a playful, very sweet Lord, no? And Rupa Goswami wants to see that because he is now fully awakened in Krishna consciousness, and as a result, he tastes the form of Krishna, the name of Krishna. What is the taste for Rupa Goswami? Very sweet, very attractive. This is the sign of someone who wakes up from the ignorance. I want to tell you a story which perhaps is on the level of where you think at the moment. Once Indra was cursed to become a village pig. He was a huge pig. Whoa, I will describe to you in great detail because I think you have taste in hearing these descriptions. I'm becoming a little bit angry at you with polite words. So I will not. So he had become a big hawk and had many, many small hawks and a wife. And one day Brahma came and said, Indra, we need you back in the heavenly planets. Could you please come? And Indra as the story goes, that I have everything here. Who needs the heavenly planets? I have a puddle of water, good mud. I have a large family, you know, so no need for me to come. He had no taste. It tasted bitter for him. So Brahma then had to show him the reality of his so-called taste. He slaughtered one pig after the other. Is it called kacha, the sword? Before his eyes, there was so much blood on that morning. And then he came to Indra and said, now it's your time. Or would you prefer to come to the heavenly planets? So Indra, of course, woke up by the shock therapy, you know, this shock treatment, and came. In Krishna consciousness, this is not done. The guru doesn't come with a sword and cut our attachments away before our eyes. He doesn't do that. In Krishna consciousness, our awakening is happening when we chant the holy name with a daily and with affectionate respect. I want to end my class in giving you a little formula how you can learn to chant with taste. Would you like to learn this formula? Wow! I think it is very important to learn this formula, because when you sit down in the morning, next morning, tomorrow morning, you will most probably do much the same as you have done today. There will be a tulasi plant, there will be circles, there will be neighbors around you who also chant. One of them will fall asleep, like he did the day before. The scenario is pretty much the same. No? It repeats itself again and again and again. Only that perhaps not Gopal Das falls asleep, but this time on your day, maybe Vrindavan Bihari Yamuna Das falls asleep, you know. So, but the idea, the thing is the same. And there you are, doing the same thing at the same place. If you want your japa to be different, you will have to do something different tomorrow. What you will have to do is in Sanskrit known as sankalpa, and in English as forming an intention. Now let me ask those who know good Hindi, what is intention in Hindi? Udesha. The intention. The intention, why do you do this? Why do you sit here and do japa? You have to have this intention. You know, if I'm walking, I will reach my goal, maybe a certain address, in however long it takes, maybe 1 hour and a half hour. But if I have the intention, I want to reach it quickly, I will most probably reach my goal in 40 minutes. Can you understand how an intention, or when you cook, and you have the intention to really please the Radha and Krishna, for instance, if you cook for the deities, or the friend who comes and visits you, if you have the intention to please, don't you think it will influence the quality of the food you cook? Of course, avashya. will 100% influence everything. When you come to the class and you really want to learn something, would that perhaps influence your listening and make it different than if you just, okay, this I have to do to get prasadam? Avasha, would 100% influence us. So when you chant, my dear devotees, it's very important that you put this intention into your mind that you wish to please Krishna, you wish to purify your consciousness, you wish to get chant with taste like this. The next point is sincerity. You have to be the real you who chants. You have to sit down, okay, who am I? I'm a part of Krishna. Krishna, I want to call your name now. I want to chant your name. Either in japa or kirtan also, same thing. You have to have some sincerity. And finally, attention. Again and again, attention. All this together is spelled out as Isha, who is a name of God. Do you know? One of the thousand names is Isha, the Lord who is the master and controller of everything. I stands for what? Intention. S stands for sincerity. And A stands for attention. If you forget everything about this lecture, which you will do most properly, because you hear tomorrow another lecture, how much can you remember? Please remember this one word. What was the word?
Isha.
When you chant either in bhajan or kirtan, or when you chant in japa, your intention is fixed on Krishna. You are sincere. You know, my Lord, I'm also covered by avidya. I'm sorry, I ignored you so much. Please accept me again. And when you catch your mind wandering off, you bring it back. And how do you chant? With attention. Do you know what that means? Oh, I'm sorry to be so thought-provoking, and that on an empty stomach. I'm sorry. Attention is defined by our scriptures as the one-pointed focus of all one's mind on this one thing. No? You stop thinking about this and that and just focus it on the object of your attention, in this case the holy name. My dear devotees, when you chant like this, you will again get taste. And this is perhaps here the whole point of this verse. Shita Ketu says, I am ignorant, but because you are great personalities, you can give me real knowledge. I am as foolish as a village animal, like a pig or dog. We see them in Vrindavan, no? Because I am merged in the darkness of ignorance, avidya. Therefore, please ignite the torch of knowledge to save me. Please, every day, try to find something that inspires you in Krishna consciousness so that the darkness of ignorance goes, because only then you will have taste in your spiritual practices, first and foremost the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna. What do you think? It's something to think about, no? Krishna, Krishna. I wish all of us that our eyes will be opened again. How do we sing? Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu Adama Jana Ravandu Lokenad Loke Rajivana. No, but please open my eyes, Guru Maharaj. I'm standing in darkness. Please help me with the torchlight of knowledge. Because then only I will have taste again in Krishna. As long as I'm covered with avidya, I do things mechanically without taste. Hare Krishna. Good, I have reached my end. I think it is a little late. Is it? 10 minutes more. What? Only 10 minutes late. Nishta, that's nothing. Mohan Rupa. Yes, I see you. Mohan Rupa. Our Mohan Rupa.
He is just going to washroom.
No, I see him. Yeah, on the left side, no?
No.
That is a different Mohan Rupa. I see Mohan Rupa everywhere. Perhaps because I'm afraid that he will say the lecture has to end.
No,
Hare Krishna. Good. Is there a question by someone who has thought, who's not absolutely young? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
It is definitely easier to exchange love and affection when the atmosphere is like this, when everyone in the devotee community is interested in that, is ready to respond and reciprocate. But even if not, you need to do what is right. I think this is one of the big lessons of going out on Sankirtan. There, we meet sometimes people who say, I'm not interested. Have you met in Delhi also? Yes. I'm not interested. And they rudely say, keep the book. Don't hassle me. You know, they rudely say this. And if you have not learned to be independent of others, you might feel discouraged and say, oh, this is useless, I'm discontinuing my Sankirtan, I'm stopping now. No? Have you been in the situation that you try to offer someone a book and then rudely they say, keep it, don't hassle me. No? Rudely, they say, unnecessarily rudely, they say. And have you become discouraged? I think some of us must have felt that. But you have to learn to distribute transcendental knowledge. This is what devotees do. And Prabhupada once told us a story of there was a sadhu, a very kind-hearted sadhu, and he saw that after the monsoon, one scorpion, you know scorpion?
Yes.
What is it? How we say?
Bichu.
A bichu. There was a bichu. And he was on a piece of wood drifting in a pond, and the wood was becoming more and more full of water and started to sink. So the sadhu was there trying to save the bichu, but whenever he came close to the bichu was raising his tail and trying to sting him. So one person who was there and who saw this asked the sadhu, why don't you just let the bichu drown? He is interested to hit you, you know? And the sadhu gave a beautiful answer, which Prabhupada gave us. The answer was, well, the bichu does his duty, I doing my duty. So he does what bichus do, scorpions do, I do what sadhus do. And this is, I think, something we need to learn to become Krishna conscious. You will not always be applauded by others on your path of Krishna consciousness, but you have to continue and not be so affected by people's discouraging word. And this applies even to the devotees of Krishna. Sometimes devotees of Krishna may not be in the position to reciprocate. There may be something. Hare Krishna. Yes. What is the root cause of becoming indifferent to Krishna? There could be many sources. Often it is said it's due to aparadas, that we either consciously, Hare Krishna, Krishna Priya, no? Yes? That we either consciously or subconsciously perform. Hare Krishna, welcome. So that is that is often said. The moment we commit aparadas against devotees, we will lose all taste for the practices of devotional service and for the object of devotional service, that is Krishna. But the cause of becoming indifferent to Krishna could also be something else. It's not that aparadas are the only cause. What could also be the case is that you have entertained for a long time material thoughts. When we have these material thoughts in our minds, then it becomes very difficult for us to find taste in Krishna thought. We are covered by avidya, by ignorance. If you read too much, you know, kami newspapers, and you see everything through the eyes of the materialists, no, then you just cannot see Krishna. And Rupa Goswami describes Atasi Krishna na. Tasi Krishna Namadi, not that Krishna, his name and so on, cannot be perceived with material senses, you know. And you know, what you can do is you can engage in devotional service, and then somehow you can understand Krishna. Do you know that by serving Krishna, you actually understand Krishna? Without serving Krishna, you cannot understand him. I told in the Govardhan retreat a little story I had once read about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One man had come to him with a very, very complicated philosophical question, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "I have no time now to answer you." So he was informed that this was the dean or the chancellor of the Hindu university in Benares, a very high posted person, you know. So
same college.
Yes. So he had come all the way from Varanasi to ask this question, and the answer he got is, "I have no time for you." That was very discouraging for him. No, so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Well, why don't you go? We have our temple, and you have darshan, and perhaps you can help the pujari a little bit." The pujari was just there. He had brass, and he needed to clean the brass. And he, Aarti time was coming, and he was panicking, and he said, "Ah, you seem to be sent by Krishna. Can you help me polish the brass?" He is a professor. He is the dean of the huge university campus, Hindu university in Varanasi, and now he's asked to clean Hare Krishna, the brass. Please continue to pay attention. He's asked to clean the brass, but somehow the pujari was such a nice pujari. So he said, "Why not?" And he was polishing the brass, and as a result, he felt that his question was answered. In the evening, when he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta said, "So, what is your question?" And he said, "My question is answered." Because he had served Krishna. So when you become indifferent and you find yourself a little bit removed from Krishna and understanding Krishna and so on, render some service. Although you may be a professor of the Hindu university in Varanasi. Hare Krishna. I thank you. In the Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Bhaktyamang avidyanati," I can be known by bhakti only, by devotional service. And only in this way, rendering devotional service, can you enter the secret of my understanding. Lord Krishna says, Krishna. So this will be the last question. Yes, please, because time is there. Hare Krishna.
So I think to take one of the basic powers of becoming indifferent to Krishna is like when we have so much material stuff in our mind.
Yeah.
So as I am a student, and so when during the exams there is so much stuff to read, so what should I do at that time?
Yes, I do know this. These moments, and have you noticed when you have to read for exam, then you lose the taste also to read in Krishna conscious literature. Perhaps when you are little, when you are finished, you just want to relax your mind, you know, with something. That is the result. My dear devotees, I want to introduce something with you which please don't take as a replacement to everything else you have heard. I want to introduce the minute sadhana to you. The minute sadhana. That is a very brief sadhana which you do for perhaps a minute, like praying, a prayer. It takes a little time, but it can sometimes, if it's the right prayer, totally enliven you. So when you have to study or do any other time-consuming activity, which doesn't allow you to read, or which doesn't even, which takes the taste away from reading and hearing about Krishna, remember the minute sadhana. A good prayer, maybe from a prayer book, and that can bring life to a dead man, if it's the right, no? Good, my dear everyone, I think it is now time for us to conclude this lecture. It was, like always, a great joy for me to be with the devotees of our Radhapata Sharati Mandir. It really feels like home to sit here. This is a different position I used to, but we didn't have Lord Nrisingadev before. Now Lord Nrisingadev is there. I know your temple is doing fantastic in the field of book distribution and also attracting so many people to Krishna consciousness. It's always so full. I hear since Lord Nrisingadev is here, Lakshmi Nrisinga, even more pilgrims come. What? Yeah, so there is a lot of potential, or a lot of seva done in this temple, and I want to encourage all of you. You all do such a nice service without you, the functions of this temple couldn't be done so well. And I wish you all the best. May Radhapata Sharati bless you unlimitedly, that you become very, and may they give sweetness in the heart, no? That we can feel the taste of Krishna consciousness as sweet. All the best, and Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada.
He's on a Satyananda Swami Maharaj.